Beautiful. Don't you love that? Have that real sense of that divine all around, which is very much a part of the prayers of St. Patrick and also of St. Columba. And so the Celtic Christian tradition is filled with that sense of the presence of God embodied in nature and in all of us, that it's all part of the divine matrix. When I think about us being eternal spiritual beings, having an earthly experience for a divine reason, I realize sometimes I'm in touch with different aspects of that more than others. But I think when we can remember to at least look around and go, okay, what's the divine reason for whatever is going on right now? It allows us to invite that presence to be known. It's there. It's us recognizing it and having it be known. And I believe with all of my heart that before each soul leaves the realm of spirit, it comes with not a preordained, totally detailed plan. It's not a map. It's more an invitation of what we each want to learn, what we want to experience, what gifts we want to give and what gifts we want to open to receive, so that we can make the most of our time in this realm from that first breath until the last breath and everything in between. One of my favorite passages that helps us remember that comes from William Wordsworth. Our birth is but a sleeping and a forgetting, not in entire forgetfulness and not in utter nakedness, but trailing clouds of glory do we come. And if you have any doubt of that, all you have to do is look into the face of a newborn baby, fresh from that realm of spirit. And I've always loved that classic story of the mother who walks past the nursery with a new baby in the cradle, and the older brother is right beside the cradle talking to the baby. And she listens to hear what he might be saying, and he says, "Please, tell me about heaven, where we came from. I'm starting to forget." All of us have deep within us that remembrance of who we were sent to be. And we can't help but be that. I've always loved that quote that says, you can't be somebody else. It would be redundant, a waste of divine energy. And it would be incredibly boring. Any of you who's ever been in a relationship in the course of your life knows that each soul is unique and has its unique take on life. And it's negotiating and growing in compassion and understanding and love that is what relationships are all about. I've always loved the Hopi wisdom teaching. We are the ones we've been waiting for. Oh, darn, I was hoping somebody else was going to show up and do it. We're the ones that have been sent. And if you're here, it's because you chose to be part of this time and place and the evolution, not only of your own soul, but of our global consciousness. We are here truly for a divine reason. And I know in the midst of the world, sometimes we think, what difference can we possibly make? And Rebecca Solnit says this, "Nobody can know the full consequences of their action, and history is full of small acts that change the world in surprising ways. What lies ahead may seem unlikely, but when it becomes the past, it becomes inevitable. Possibilities lie before us. And it's how do we consciously embody that presence in the unique being that we are, at the same time connected with that realm of spirit and with that deeper understanding of who we each are and why we are here. Gets really tricky and hard sometimes. And so as I remembered that little boy at the cradle, I found myself remembering that I had some questions and some comments from children to God. See if you relate to any of these. Lucy writes, "Dear God, are you really invisible or is that just a trick?" Norma, "Dear God, did you mean for the giraffe to look like that or was it an accident?" Joyce, "Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy." Larry, "Dear God, maybe Cain and Abel would not kill each other so much if they had their own rooms. It worked with me and my brother." Elliot, "Dear God, I think about you sometimes even when I'm not praying." Nan, I love this one. "Dear God, I bet it's hard for you to love all of everybody in the whole world. There are only 4 people in my family and I can never do it." That wonderful. I love those. That speaks to how tricky embodiment can be. And that it's about recognizing that humor, that deep grace. Are you invisible or is that just a trick? It's not saying you're not there. I think it's like, is that God with Harry Potter's invisibility cloak on? But it's about us having the eyes to see. It's about us realizing that the things we go through in life are to help us evolve, to grow in depth and breadth of compassion, depth and breadth of faith. I know one of the things that crossed my mind, besides how amazing that Lane and I were not down right in the middle of Seattle in the midst of that, was, oh, part of me wish I could have been there. The nurse in me, oh, if I'd been there, perhaps I could have helped. The minister in me, perhaps if I'd been there, I could have helped. Lane always laughs and said he married the perfect wife because if he needs healing, I can pray for him, and if it doesn't help enough, I can bless him to the other side. His neurosurgeon is married to a nurse, and he said he saw a t-shirt that said, "Smart men marry nurses." And so that in this lifetime is one of the paths that I chose to express the life of service that I was called to. It could take many forms. In fact, in my life it has. It's already taken 3 very clear ones. I was a special ed teacher to multi-handicapped children. I was a nurse and ended up specializing in ICU and then in rehabilitation. And then I became a chaplain and a minister. And each one seems very different. My father, who got his bachelor's degree, his master's, and his PhD, all in business and in economics and finance, went straight ahead. And then he has this interesting gypsy child who is a special ed teacher, and her professor of audiology says, "I would love for you to be my teaching assistant. We'll get you a scholarship. We'll get you a master's degree in audiology. Will you come do that?" And my dad was like, "That's fabulous." And I went, "Yes, it is, but it's not what I'm called to do." And then a year later, I said, "I really want to go into nursing," which my parents had said, "You can't do that. You have too tender a heart. You can't do that." Well, I realized that those things were going to be going on in the world whether I was there or not. And if my tender heart allowed people to not feel alone, then I'd actually stop shaking enough to learn how to give a shot. My dad was like, "What are you doing? So I worked as a summer. They said, if you work a summer as a nurse's aide and do the really down, dirty, gritty work, and then you still want to do it, then we'll talk. I came off that summer between my teaching seasons, and I went, I loved it. Even though I didn't have a professional role, I loved being there in that way with people. And then one of my dearest friends was diagnosed years later with a brain tumor and literally given weeks to live, Kay. And I was present with her during that. And I found myself going, if I knew I only had a month to live, what would I want to do with it? And I realized that rather than doing the case management nursing work that I'd been doing, the thing I'd want to do was I was working as a volunteer chaplain at Parkland Hospital. 8 of us were trained in the city of Dallas to be volunteer chaplains. I came from my Methodist church, recommended by my Methodist minister, and was blessed to be one of them. And I found myself going, that's what I'd want to do with my time. And so I went into prayer and I just said, okay, I'm totally willing to do whatever is mine to do. And then I stopped praying and I went, okay, good, now I can just get back on with my life, go to work tomorrow. 3 days later, Easter, the 3 days in the tomb, that process was going on. And 3 days later, I went to work. And they said, the company had been bought about 6 months earlier. They said, they're beginning with layoffs, and you're among the first that's being laid off. So today's your last day. We'll give you a nice severance package. And I sat there at my cubicle, you know, the cubicle world, and I was just like, wow. People were coming up in tears going, Pam, we can't believe you got laid off. And I just looked and I said, I think I asked for it. And so I get laid off. I'm supposed to go to a leadership training class at Unity Dallas that I'd found and gotten really involved in. And I thought, I can't go to that. I don't even know if I'm going to stay in Dallas. I have no job. And this was on a Friday, and the training class was on Monday. So another 3 days. So by Monday afternoon, Spirit will not leave me alone until I get in the car and go. I get there, and in the course of the evening, they start talking about you can go to Unity Village and study. As a lay person, you can go to what they called CEP at the time. And I was like, wow, that sounds really neat. And suddenly, it was like the room kind of faded, and I just connected with this presence, is all I can call it. And it says, this is why your life has unfolded as it has thus far. This is why you went through a divorce with a bankruptcy that went with that. This is why you weren't blessed with biological children. This is why you just got laid off from this wonderful corporate job with lots of money. Because this is the portal, if you're willing, to step into something new. That's the next expression of service. And then that went away, and everybody was just talking again. We broke into small groups, and I talked with this wonderful woman who ended up writing my letter of recommendation several years later to ministerial school. And I said, oh, I'd love to go, but it's already middle of September, and I know classes always start the 1st of September, so I've missed it this year. And she said, oh, no, you haven't. It starts the 1st of October. So, to the terror of some of my friends, I said, okay, and I packed up my life. We met for margaritas. This is Texas, you know. And one of my friends was literally blanching white. She didn't do change well. She's like, what are you doing? And I said, well, I have offers, so if this doesn't pan out, I can always come back and make a couple of calls and probably get another job again. And instead, I packed up my apartment, took it down to Austin, set up in my parents' mother-in-law's suite at their house, and then got in the car, and I, who had never driven more than 3 or 4 hours from home, drove all the way to Kansas City, to Unity Village, and studied. And that was that beginning. That was that portal. And the day after this meeting at Unity Dallas, they said, oh, the place is busy. You'll probably have to get a hotel room. I called to see if I can get one of the cottages on campus, one of the beds. And they said, oh, the phone call before yours was a cancellation. We have the bed. Yes, we've got a place for you. And so the reason that unfolded, I believe with all of my heart, is that I had, before I even came, said, let me serve. I had no idea what it would look like. The last thing I ever thought I would be was a minister. I thought, oh, I can't be a minister. I have too much fun. I like life too much. And then it's like, what's wrong with that picture? If you're connected to the divine, you should enjoy life. And so it's simply willingness, willingness for all of us to recognize that every day is filled with opportunities for us to see and to notice the presence of the divine, to notice the open doors and windows for us to do what each of us is uniquely sent to do, being who we've been sent to be. And it's not by accident. I love what Will Rogers said. If you wait until you're ready, you will wait forever. It's not about being ready. It's not about having all the answers. It's about being willing and to feel that presence of the divine with you wherever it is your soul is journeying, right here and right now. You truly are a child of light, and I truly bless you with all of my heart. Let us pray. Oh, sweet, sweet Spirit, how blessed we are that Spirit and the divine open to profound, unique possibilities in and through and as each of us. This created world is amazing and wonderful. It is said that despair is not a strategy. We need to remember to have hope. We need to remember that change is rarely straightforward, but that small actions matter. Each one of us matters, what we do individually and what we do collectively. And as we hold for peace in our lives, in ourselves, and in our world, let us remember what Margaret Mead said. Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. Let us be aware of the divine reason for our presence in this world, and let us be a light for ourselves, and then for others and for our world. For truly, we are the ones we've been waiting for. All we have to do is look around with the eyes of the divine and see the divine presence here and now. Let us remember to love everybody in the whole world as best we can, even though we know that with only 4 people in our family, it's sometimes really hard to do it. Let us do it, though, willingly, with love and with grace. And so it is. Om, amen, and blessed be.